gracefully read, with church with integrity. But to be a whole, complete, and undivided church, certain actions are required. I want to give you an illustration. There's a food chain. Y'all should know that. I love food. We begin to look at this restaurant who had dropped his item from an item from his menu, realizing that they could not serve food with integrity. They could not serve it because of how the animal was being treated. So the restaurant itself decided to pull the pork. This restaurant is called Chipotle. They decided to pull the pork because the supplier did not meet the animal welfare standards. So they decided not to serve the food because they want to make sure that they remain and maintain the integrity of the ethics standards that they had. So they pulled the pork, babe. And so they were jeopardizing that they would lose a lot of money because they pulled this item. But because of the integrity of food and how they wanted the animals treated, Chipotle decided that in order for them to remain true to what they want, they decided they must go without the pulled pork. And so today, as you know as well as I know, Chipotle is still thriving and doing well. They're still maintaining their standards. And in order to keep their restaurants afloat, they must continue to keep their integrity and keep it intact. But how about the church? How can the church act with integrity? Listen, as we hear from Paul, he suggests that we live with all humility, all gentleness, with patience and bearing one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in one body and peace. He said if we were to perform all these actions and also practice speaking the truth in love, then we will grow up into Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped as each part, it will work properly and it will promote God's growth. It will promote the body's growth in building itself up in love. Integrity. Notice he also said that the body of Christ joined and knitted together, each part working properly, each part doing what it's called to do, each part maintaining its integrity in which it's supposed to function. Also, the body is responsible for building itself up and to love. Paul's vision of the church is he wanted to see the physical presence of Jesus in the world of that time. And sisters and brothers, we too want to maintain the integrity of what God has called the church for this time. Paul wants the church to be with integrity, to be true to itself. He wanted to be whole, complete, and undivided, the true church. I went a little further, and I want to look up integrity. And as I look up integrity, they gave me two different definitions. The first definition, well, they say integrity itself is a noun. The first definition is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. The second definition is the state of being whole and undivided, upholding our territorial integrity and national sovereignty. The synonym is togetherness and solidarity, the wholeness of the church. The church, not only to be true, but in order for it to be true, then it also must be made whole. It also must be undivided. It also must be the part where it have strong morals and principles. And as I was sharing with some others today, well, not today, last week, there's no difference in St. John's than any other church. I just believe that. We're not different. No one is doing anything different than what we're doing. We are singing hymns and we are giving God the praise. But one thing that we must continue to do is that we must continue to maintain humility and gentleness. We must continue to become sisters and brothers in Christ. God will give us those that we so desire, that this local assembly will fulfill the mission of God. A church with integrity has leaders who are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. The church, Paul speaks of it, it gives everyone gifts. And in order the gifts that they have, they must use it in order to perform all the duties that God has called for the local assembly. The church also must have leaders who exercise their gifts with humility and gentleness. Those who are willing to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ so that the body itself can be a reflection of God in a broken world. God is also calling the church to take his time and to remain patient, to take time to understand that God has not left us, but God is still with his people. Paul tells the Ephesians that they are coming. They also need to unite to in one faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to grow to maturity, to get off the milk of the word, but to come into the maturity and understand the purpose of which God has called them. The church also has unity. We need to be united one with another. We all are brothers and sisters, keeper. We must continue to remain our knowledge, understand the knowledge of God as we continue to grow. And as we continue to develop into these qualities, understand that we also ought to bear one another's burdens. We ought to love one another. We ought to also encourage one another. We need to bond the ministry of peace. Whether the issue is women ministry, the praise music, the worship music, the balancing the budget, or even the good faith of people, we have a job to do as we continue to grow and continue to maintain the integrity over the church. When we face issues, Paul instructs us not to attack each other, not to undermine each other, not to take gain or victory over each other, but instead to bear one another in love. Even today, as you heard the song being sung today, nothing was more important than love. A lot of things will fail. Some things will pass away. But love itself will prevail forever. And God is calling his church to be a building, to be an edifice of love, that we realize that church integrity is so important. And as I say earlier, that's nothing different than any other church. One thing that we must continue to do is maintain the unity of the Spirit and bond and peace. And we remember who we are called for. Remember that the unity that comes from one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father, of all, in all, that God himself will equip his leaders. God will equip the saints, but we must continue to build the ministry for which God has called us. So as we continue to maintain the integrity, integrity is more than just being honest, but it's also having strong morals. Even as Chipotle decided that they were going to give up his meat, but they realized that they were going to maintain their moral principle and maintain the moral uprightness, but also become, in order for them to become whole and undivided, we as a church, if we're going to become whole and undivided, we must not put our trust in ourselves. We must not really put our trust in our emotions. But more importantly, we need to put our trust in God. For somewhere I read, for God so loved the world that he gave us his very best, and that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. A church with integrity. And I believe that's what the world is calling the church today. They are looking for a church that has integrity, a church that will be whole even in the brokenness of the world. And I think that's what people are looking for. They're not looking for the biggest band, the best music, who will shout the loudest, but they're looking for someone to stand in the gap of the brokenness that they face in everyday life. They're looking for a church that regardless of what happens, we don't become firefighters, but we become whole. A place where they can grow up and become mature in Christ. And that's what God is calling us to do, that we continue to grow as a church with integrity. At this time, we have our concerns, or any pastoral concerns this morning. I see Reese is back. And she's leaning over. Let's continue to keep the Lutz family in our prayers as they continue to go through this time of bereavement. I think Wendy has something.
We continue our praying for behind Rosie and George. Rosie will be having surgery in Baltimore Friday.
Oh.
And George is entering another phase of the MDS.
Okay.
Going forward.
And Rosie and George, let's continue to keep them in prayer. Pastor Wilson did come home, but he went back to the hospital again. So we ask that you pray for Andrew, continue to lift him up in prayer as he's the pastor over at Hamlet. So we need to continue to pray for him and his wife as they go through the time of healing. Pastor Herb, let's continue to keep Pastor Herb in our prayers, and Sharon, she was feeling a little sick this morning, but so they didn't come, but let's continue to pray for Pastor Herb and family.
Donnie, I wish you'd keep in your prayers a man named Dan Berger, who's an electrical engineer where I work. He's suffering from stage 4 liver cancer. Mm-hmm.
Amen. You said Dan?
Dan Berger.
Dan Berger.
Lord knows him as Dan.
Amen. I just like to write names down because we don't just pray just today, but we pray all week, and I want to be thinking as we continue to any other concerns? If there be no other concern, let us bow for a word of prayer. Loving God, we come to this place of worship and this time of prayer with hearts that are full. For the hearts filled with joy, we offer our gratitude. For the hearts seated in sorrow, we pray for your comfort. For the hearts burning with anger, we ask for a glimmer of peace. For the hearts full of pain, we ask for the gentle touch of your spirit. For the hearts overflowing with doubts, we ask for the certainty of your presence. For hearts full with anxiety, we pray for a reassurance of your love. For the hearts loaded with pride, we ask for a touch of humility. Our hearts are filled with a mixture of emotions, O God, and yet we all gathered to worship you. We come from diverse places and unite here as a one family. We have lifted our voices in praise to you. We have rested here in this silence of prayer. We have listened to the reading of your word. Now as we come together in prayer and lift up our hearts to you, we ask one.
No.
What will you do? What will you have us to do?
No.
As we hear the prayer concerns of our sisters and brothers, of those who are going through difficult tasks, those who have the report of cancer, those who are seeking healing, those who are in their nursing homes and they're homebound, those who are in the medical facilities, those who feel like there's no way out, those who seem like the best thing to do is to give up. Lord, what would you have us to do? What would you have us, though we sit here on 141 West Main Street, St. John's, what would you have us to do as we continue to lift up the prayer one for another, as we become our brother's keeper, as we continue to grow as a church of integrity, as we continue to care one for another, Lord, what would you have us to do? What would you have us to do today, Lord, as we think about those who are close to our hearts and names we dare not utter, the name that we want to speak, but we just cannot proclaim, the one that's secret. Lord, we have some desire even within our own selves. But still, we ask you the question, what would you have us to do? What would you have us as friends and families and members of St. John's, what would you have us to do on this day? We ponder the bounty that is ours and look with dismay at the poverty reflected in the faces of hungry children. We delight in the abundance that is ours and struggle as to how to share with others. Grant us the courage Grant us the courage to care one for another. Grant us the courage to even to be a voice for those who are downtrodden. Grant us the courage to stand in the gap where it seems like there's no hope. Grant us the courage, Lord, to step up and reach out to those in need with a loving heart and asking for nothing in return. Grant us the wisdom to seek that in risking nothing, we have nothing, but it's in giving that we receive. Enable us to give with a joyful heart in the name of the one who gave his life for us, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us be mindful of those that is in our